WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Peter Wong's first feature film, The Great Wall, was also the first American feature shot on location in China as a co-production with the People's Republic. Wong starred in the film, but he may be better known to you for a smaller role in an earlier film, Chan is Missing. He was the cook wearing the Samurai Night Fever t-shirt who sang Fry Me to the Moon. Wong wrote, directed, and co-stars in the new comic thriller The Laser Man. Their thriller part revolves around a Chinese-American scientist who discovers his laser research is being used for evil purposes. The comedy revolves around the scientist's relationships with people who aren't Chinese but know more about Chinese culture than he does. His mother is Jewish. She believes there's a Chinese soul trapped in her Jewish body. She cooks soy sauce soup with matzo balls. His girlfriend would rather meditate than make love. I asked Wong if he knew people who tried to out-Chinese the Chinese.
Oh, well, I tell you, I met a lot of this kind of persons in big cities in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. They know so much about Chinese cultural oriental things. So when you get together with this kind of girls or people around you, I usually talk about baseball.
Why do you talk about baseball and not about China?
Because they know more than they know more about China than I. So what can I say?
Does it embarrass you that you know less, or do you think that they're crazy for knowing so much?
I think I appreciate that. It doesn't embarrass me. I feel happy, and it's very interesting to talk to a non-Chinese who knows so much about it. It's always interesting to learn something from their perspectives. This kind of East-Meets-West thing has been so deeply well-developed in this country, which this come back to the message of my film. This should be the future of our world. People start to learn each other's differences. To begin with, they hate each other because they're different. Later on, they like each other because they're different.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, your movie ends with inter-ethnic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think a lot of people from different racial, ethnic, and religious groups finally feel that you're better off with your own.
Right.
You know, that Jews should marry Jews, that Chinese should marry Chinese, mm-hmm. that blacks should marry blacks, that there's mm-hmm. a certain connection that you wouldn't be able to experience, a more intimate connection, mm-hmm. that you wouldn't be able to experience outside your own group. And you're kind of coming down on the opposite side.
That is true. I think eventually what is a Jewish culture, what is a Chinese culture, to be very specifically speaking, I found if I sit down and do a little research, you start realize a lot of right now we consider as traditional Chinese culture are imported from India, from Europe. So once you open up your mind, you find there's nothing to lose by accepting others. Everything to gain. You know.
I think what people are afraid of losing is their own background, a sense of their own history, cultural traditions.
You can never lose that by opening yourself up. If you're born Chinese, you'll start to speak English. You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. You know, you add yourself on. You start to speak Spanish or Japanese. That only make your life more interesting, more colorful.
Can I ask you about your own family?
Yes.
Are you married?
Well, I've been married many times.
Oh, have you?
So let's skip that.
Okay. Do you have children?
Yeah, I have a son. I have a son. He's in college now. He's a good-looking kid. Not too useful, but he's very good-looking.
Now, what's his ethnic background? Part Chinese, that's your side. What's the other side?
The other side is also Chinese. But he talk like a middle-class American or something. He's very good with words.
Now, did you send him to Chinese school?
No, that's another thing. He speaks Chinese quite fluently. I brought him back to China a few times. I never forced him to go to Chinese school. I think that's a mistake. Chinese school or any language school, you send the children to study there every weekend or Saturday or Sunday. The kid may be a 12 or 11 year old already. They went to this school, sitting there with different people, different age group, and the teacher is trying to teach people to speak like 6 year old in Chinese. It is quite a torture.
Well, in one of your previous films, A Great Wall,
mm-hmm.
The son in the movie, mm-hmm. the American-born son, complains mm-hmm. to his Chinese father that,
yeah.
you know, he spent so much time in Chinese school that he never got to watch Bugs Bunny.
That's right. That's right. That's very funny. because we show the film in certain festivals and met this famous cartoon filmmaker, Chuck Jones. And he caught that lie. He enjoyed it very much. She never expected this kind of film people mention about Bugs Bunny, which is a legitimate complaint, tell you.
Now, in The Laser Man, you cast yourself as Lieutenant Wu. Describe the character and tell me why you gave yourself that role.
Lieutenant Wu is a character that I believe, a very commonly observed in the modern cities of the United States. First-generation immigrant, out of necessity, he has to spend so much time on his job. And from time to time, he has to reflect on his own origin, try to trace back his own culture, and got totally confused. And for first-generation immigrants, I observe a lot of this kind of character. And I think I'm a frustrated actor. Nobody want to hire me to play any role in other films. So from time to time, I hire myself to do a role there.
Mm-hmm. Now, another part of the story in The Laser Man is that Arthur is a laser scientist, mm-hmm. and he's willing to work on projects without really thinking about what the research is for.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds out that the research is sometimes for very dangerous war-related things. Mm-hmm. Now, you got in trouble with that yourself, I think. You were a scientist.
That's the thing that I sort of been bothered for a long time, because on top of my personal experiences, I think a lot of top-notch scientists and researchers in this country, all over the world, they should face this problem themselves. I think a lot of people in this country, United States and somewhere else, Soviet Union or China, they are diligently developing a very powerful, destructive weapons. Star Wars is one of them. I think they're responsible, but they're not taking that kind of responsibility.
Did you work on a project that you later found out was for?
Yes, a long time ago, when I was a graduate student, I worked on a laser research, which is a reconnaissance device mounted on a helicopter using long-wave laser. This is detective kind of a device to try to track down any moving metal objects. That means a tank, a truck, or any person carrying a gun. And funny enough, the whole research group never really mentioned about what it is for. After we had a great success of doing all this research, once the target is being identified, what are you going to do with it? This is a legitimate question, but throughout 5 years of research, nobody asked this kind of question in the lab. So that was not a very happy days of my life. I was really torn apart by this.
Is this why you got out of science and into filmmaking?
No, that's not a total reason. I graduated from University of Pennsylvania with a PhD degree in this field. And then I couldn't find a job because I was a foreign student. And also I have a record of anti-Vietnam War. I'll never get my clearance to working on this highly classified, highly sensitive weapon research. Then I turned myself into a computer engineering expert. I worked many years in that field. And it's on the year of 84, I suddenly gone crazy. Maybe I started making films.
Now, I understand that even though you went into science, you really wanted to go into acting, but it was against your father's wishes.
That's right. That's, again, back to this cultural background. I think in Chinese mind, many Oriental minds, they consider the acting, theaters, entertainment business very lowly. And I think they have, in early days, they have 10 different rankings of what kind of profession you should do. And entertainment business in traditional Chinese ranking is number 9th or something, just one rank above beggars and prostitutes. I think this is horrible. So my father is a very strict and stern scholar. He was a professor in literature. Of course, he highly disapproved of my inclination on acting, which I was very young. I didn't know what I was doing, though.
But you felt you had to obey his wishes.
I thought I was very rebellious and tried to do something different. But I think subconsciously, I'm still very Chinese. My father passed away in a year of 1975. Oddly enough, that was the year I was in the United States, made my first documentary film. There must be something in there, huh? Some fate or some kind of magic.
Well, Peter Wong, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Peter Wong wrote, directed, and co-stars in the new film, The Laser Man. This is Fresh Air.